Hey everybody, my name is Jonathan. Here's another episode of The Blind Entrepreneur. I'm with a good friend of mine. His name is Garrett Gillen. He is one of the founding partners of 215 Marketing. He's totally kicking ass in the PPC world. And so if you have any questions, it's definitely the guy to talk to, and you're in for a good treat. Garrett, without further ado, welcome. And if you could do us a favor and answer the first question, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
Yep. My name is Garrett Gillen, founding partner of 215 Marketing. So I started off actually in science. So my undergraduate degree was in biology. I thought for a long time I wanted to, be in biotech and go kind of the corporate route. I worked shortly at Sanofi Pasteur, and then while I was there, realized that wasn't for me. I'm more of like an instant gratification person. So I need everything to work out very quickly. So entrepreneurship seemed like a logical thing. And basically I left my undergraduate and started my first company, which was a discount restaurant website. It was actually somewhat successful, but we were only in business for 2 years and we weren't going to get acquired. And we were basically making money and just dumping it right back in and making no profit. So cut our losses and I decided to go to grad school. Went to grad school at Drexel University, where I actually met my business partner now, John Vogel. And we started 215 Marketing, which was kind of started off as sort of a freelance thing and, got clients and it became, the agency it is today. So that's sort of how, I'm here.
Very cool. Very cool. So take me back to obviously where it really all started, the entrepreneur career. Maybe it was even that discounted restaurant website. Where does your passion come from for what it is that you're doing now?
Yeah, I think it's, at the end of the day, it's sort of like every entrepreneur has to do things that they don't like, as well. And every day, still I'm, having to write, on-site SEO stuff or content for this or that or things I really don't want to do. But at the end of the day, you have to do what you have to do to get through everything. But the passion, I think it's just, surrounding yourself with people that are like-minded and just as driven. And I was always fortunate to have a really good network. And actually touching on my first business, the discount restaurant website, I actually went into business with a good friend of mine who's a little bit older than me, but right now he's the CTO of Stanley Gibbons, which is like an international pricing house. And he was sort of my mentor coming up, and that's sort of why I even got into tech and advertising. I was more on the sales side in that business, but started dabbling in PPC and integrated marketing, and that's sort of where I found, my passion. But yeah, I would just say, the primary thing is just being around, those people. It's just always kind of further motivated me, and I've always been a motivated person by myself. But without those people, definitely it would make it much harder to work these 90-hour weeks.
Sure, absolutely. So your first venture was somewhat of a partnership. You have another partnership now. How important is having a partner while running a business?
It's important to have the right partner, right? We had an original partner as well in 215 Marketing that isn't with us right now. And, he's a great guy, good friend of mine. We still are friends right now, but he just wasn't on the same page for what it took for a young company, a startup company, to really, make their way. And, luckily we were fortunate that he was rational and he, was the one who came to that conclusion and walked away. But, my business partner, John, right now, one of the most hardworking people, I've ever met. And when you have two people that are willing to go above and beyond and, put the business before ourselves, we put our employees before ourselves, put our personal lives before ourselves, that's really what it takes to get over it. And, I think that intelligence will take you so far, but no entrepreneur really knows what they're doing, at any time. So you learn as you go, but you need people who are going to be critical thinkers and, be able to learn as they go, because you don't need somebody with all that, intelligence right off the bat. You'll get that, as you go.
Yeah, sure. So what were some of the struggles that you had in the very early on of your career?
In what, 215 Marketing?
Sure. If that's the first one you want to talk about, or if you want to go even further, by all means.
Well, I think that my first company, I guess, real brief learning lesson there was that, how do you say this nicely? I put too much faith in rational thinking. And when you go into the market and you have a product, you know, our product was good. We were sort of like a Hotel Tonight meets Groupon. So we were instant offers, and actually Groupon has this, it's called Groupon now. And we did that same thing for restaurants offering time sensitive deals. And it was almost before its time. I would say it might've been the worst part, but essentially we were trying to just give it away to restaurants, just give it away. And, you know, basically it's the cost when you actually get somebody in here is super low. And the pushback that we got and the battle to actually sign people up and then actually getting consumers to use it correctly and not print out the coupon or take the coupon or the app and come in the day of, they were coming in a week later, you know, 2 weeks later, arguing with the owners of the business. And that was sort of my first, I guess, you know, slap in the face of like, wow, you people will just not listen to you. So it was a great idea and, you know, great in principle. And I think that it was a great learning experience because you have all these entrepreneurs who have this shiny business plan and this pitch deck. And it's like, this is how it's going to work. You know, this is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to sign up this many people. And it is not going to work out like that, you know, not at all. So it was definitely a good learning experience, kind of seeing how people can be irrational and how you should kind of prepare for that irrationality. And then in 215, I would honestly say one of our biggest struggles, two of them, one is growing too fast. I mean, we are 2 years old. You know, we've scaled up to 11 people just within this past year. We've worked with clients from local businesses all the way up to international manufacturers and universities, Drexel University, some other really large service B2B companies. And when you're getting opportunities like that, and we don't come from an agency background, just trying to figure out how to really work and put out great quality work for all of these people, that's been a continuous struggle. I mean, we struggle with that, you know, every day. And secondly, kind of a part of that is hiring the right people. It's so hard to find those people that are going to work late and put in those extra hours at a, you know, startup company. And people that look good on paper sometimes aren't the right people. Sometimes it's the people with a 3.0 GPA who, you know, kind of messed around a little bit, but they're, you know, tenacious and they get in here and they just, you know, kill it and they're on your side and they're going to work, you know, 50, 60 hours a week. So I think trying to find out, you know, who are the right people, what kind of characteristics do we really need? And kind of what we're finding is obviously like you need jack of all trades type people who can slowly drift into like a core competency.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So in that same realm, you know, tell me a little bit about your biggest failure and how did you overcome it? And most importantly, what did you learn from it?
Biggest failure. You know what? I really don't think I've had like a huge failure, but I have little micro failures every single day, right?
Sure.
So, micro failure. Yeah, I really can't say anything too large, but I think it's hiring the wrong people. I mean, we've spent a lot of money and a lot of time training people that didn't work out. That's been a huge learning curve. So when your resources are limited and your time is our biggest resource here, when that's limited, when you make a mistake in hiring both for the output they're doing for your clients or for the customers, whatever have you, but also just taking up internal resources, I mean, that has a ripple effect across the entire company. So absolutely, you have to be extremely careful with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about, you know, for me, efficiency is extremely important.
Yep.
And, you know, you mentioned it that time is a great resource, is one of our most valuable resources. Couldn't agree more with you. What are some of the habits that have helped you become more efficient throughout your day?
Yeah, so, efficiency is huge here. So, and with the people problem, in the beginning of our company, we tried to solve our issues with people and we didn't have processes. We were just starting off. So as time has gone on, we've implemented a lot more processes, a lot more protocols to follow. And that's really helped us reduce our manpower and increase our output. So just in terms of efficiency, I mean, task management is huge. We use Trello, we use time tracking for Harvest. They're integrated. In terms of just, I guess, my approach to efficiency, it's sort of like the rock and sand analogy. Do you know that? So
yeah.
I basically, like, you have two boulders every day, you have some little stones, but then there's sand, there's emails and random conversations and all that kind of stuff. So from a manager point of view, I'm a manager, I'm an actual, you know, PPC person, I'm an administrator, I'm doing, you know, accounting, also sales. So having to do all that, I sort of come into every day with maybe one or two major objectives, and then I kind of fill it in with sand and with, you know, smaller stones. So having that sort of agile approach to productivity has really kind of helped, I guess, us manage the workload.
So just out of curiosity, for those businesses that are out there that are actually growing, trying to figure out their, you know, try to hire their first employee, or maybe they're on to their fifth or 11th or whatever that number may be, how quickly or how soon did you guys realize that an employee handbook was, or an employee training guide was really important?
I mean, I would say early on, but it's almost, this is actually interesting. We overtrained, I would say. We tried to train them on too many things before they ever did anything, and it just was a failure. Right. So now when somebody comes in, they get analytics and AdWords certified as soon as you come in. Like, you, no matter what you are, like, it doesn't even matter, because if you understand how digital advertising works and you understand how to just be compliant and how they're all intertwined, you can do WordPress, you can do on-site SEO, you know enough about, you know, SEO or content marketing and paid advertising. So from there, we train as we go. So if you start drifting more into, you know, WordPress project management for website development, okay, well, you know how the website needs to be structured, you know all this kind of stuff. Now we'll give you, you know, a week to kind of look into, you know, plugins and all that kind of stuff and learn that. So I think almost in the beginning we overtrained. Now we only train to a more core skill set, and then from there, whatever issues you run into, you can take some time to train as you go.
Right, absolutely. So you mentioned briefly about one of the resources, Trello is one of them. But is there anything else that you use every single day that you just can't live without?
Email, Trello, Harvest. John would say Salesforce. He's over there on Salesforce and Zapier. Okay. So Zapier is like a if this then that thing. So that really helps him do a bunch of stuff. But on my side, I mean, I would say task management for me is just like the holy grail. So
sure. Yeah. So describe to me about your life as an entrepreneur. When does it begin usually, and when does it usually end?
When does it begin and when does it end? I feel like I've always been an entrepreneur, so it never really, I guess I was just born, I guess sure. It would be like that. But where it ends, I mean, on a day-to-day, I mean, I don't foresee me stopping the grind anytime soon. And right now, I mean, we're working like 80-hour weeks is the normal. I haven't worked less than 6 days a week, at least 8 hours a day in a year and a half. Usually come in on Sundays for like 4 to 5 hours. But I mean, even now I'm here at, you know, what is this, 9 o'clock taking this call, you know, so I don't know. I think it's just a work-life balance to me isn't 8 hours on, 8 hours off. It's more mixing it in as you go. And I'm not doing a very good job of a personal life right now, but I think every entrepreneur has to give up a few years of their life, or, you know, a year or two at the very minimum to, you know, get over that. Because if you really want it, the more you put it off, if you want to go do something, you know, fun or whatever like that, it's just one more day that you're not going to be where you want to be. And that level of where you want to be, that's up to you. But I mean, we're aiming, you know, for big things here. So there's just no time to really delay that.
So what are some things that kind of allow you to clear your mind?
I mean, just like working out, going to the gym. I mean, I have a girlfriend, but she gets mad at me all the time, so I'm not sure if she's helping the situation.
we'll make sure that edit this out so she doesn't see it.
But, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, just, you know what's funny? It's, and I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs can attest to this, and if you have a real passion for entrepreneurship and business, everyone who's listening is probably the same way. My friends and I, when we go out, we don't talk about TV shows or this or that. We talk about business and ideas and politics and fundraising and that's sort of the thing that, you know, I'm just always around. So for me, you know, what's fun is successful stories and helping people be successful and, you know, networking and things like that. So yeah, I mean, besides working out, I would say just, you know, networking and just hanging out with friends.
Are you more, do you usually go to the gym in the morning or at night?
Usually like 11 o'clock at night.
Gotcha. So like, so you're normally a night owl.
Yeah.
That's when all of your crazy stuff happens.
Yeah, when everyone leaves the office and I'm not getting emails or asked questions, that's when I can actually accomplish something.
Nice, nice. No, that's good. That's good. So do you believe that there is, you briefly mentioned about, hanging out with people that are like-minded, that are driven, that, instead of nor having a conversation about what Kardashian is doing what, or what season of the Orange is the New Black is going on. Do you believe that there is a formula to being successful, to being a successful entrepreneur? And if so, what do you think that process should look like?
I mean, honestly, I've seen a lot of good ideas fail, and I've seen a lot of bad ideas succeed. So to me, being a successful entrepreneur isn't even so much about what it is you want to do, it's how you do it, right? So yeah, if you're willing to be, tenacious and get out there and grind every day and not sleep in and, give up partying with your friends and, give up, like I said, a year or two of your life and all that stuff. I mean, you're going to be successful. It's almost impossible to work that much and work and be productive and fail. I mean, that's, to me, it's just you're creating opportunities every minute you're in the office and you're doing work. And on top of that, I mean, like I said, being around people like that, they keep you motivated. I mean, they're always there for advice. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, and I mean, even myself at times, everyone gets egotistical and you don't want to ask for help and you think you can do it on your own. But my friends, my network have given me great opportunities. They've really helped me overcome, financial questions or loan questions, questions that aren't in my core competency. So I would really just urge everybody to not be afraid to ask anyone. I mean, it's not uncommon that I'll reach out to somebody that I've never met who I know, can help, and you'd be really surprised how willing people are to, offer their advice.
Yeah, absolutely. So the blind entrepreneur is something that I define as an individual who may not know exactly what to do or how to start a business, or may not know what it takes in order to get into entrepreneurship. They have an idea, but they don't exactly know what to do. What are three pieces of advice that you'd give to an entrepreneur that's either starting out? That's kind of nervous about taking that next leap of faith in order to become an entrepreneur.
People that aren't, I guess, fully set on it should probably not do it right away, right?
Okay,
So, I
so
mean,
that's number
I
one.
would say, yeah, be ready to do it. And,
Okay.
if you're gonna do it, full out. And, whether that means kind of, taking a pay cut or, spending your savings, that might be something you have to do. But if you're passionate about it, and especially if you're young, I mean, you can always rebound. Right. So now's the time to act, and every day you delay it, you're just delaying, that future success. So I guess the one first thing would just be make sure you're ready to go in. Right. Second, probably, network, ask for help. If you don't know how to do it, ask people that do. I mean, if somebody wanted to, email me and say, what's the cheapest way to make a website and get all this up? Yeah, I mean, for me, that's like a 15-minute email, and I can probably save you like, $10,000. So
Jeez.
asking people for help, and where you're weak, identifying that. And then second, or a third, I don't know. I mean, have a product that makes sense and keep it simple. Some of the best products and best services are things that are extremely simple. You don't have to educate the consumer. You reduce your overhead in terms of marketing expense for education. Having a very, very simple solution. And prior to this call, we spoke about Scholly, Chris Gray, a friend of mine. Scholly has a very, very simple product. And that's what's made them so wildly successful, is that it just sells itself. It does one thing really, really well. And if you can do one thing really, really well, and you can gain that user base and gain that respect and reputation, then you can branch off into all those other things you want to do, which I'm sure Scholly, will end up being a big, powerful force in scholarships and applications. But they didn't start off wanting, they probably wanted it all, but they didn't start off trying to achieve all of that. They started off with one idea, and that's really what's made them, successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the last question I have. It's personally my favorite one of all the questions. But imagine you just had the worst day of your life. You're down in the dumps, you're stressed out, and you need a fix in order to raise your spirits higher. What is the first thing that you will eat in order to make your day that much better?
Yeah, something not a cheesesteak or anything like that.
Sure, so, can't be stereotypical.
Nothing like that. I would say, you know, probably like sushi. I mean, I eat pretty like light, so I mean, sushi and like juice or like an actual like homemade juice or something like that. Something like good fruit, all that kind of stuff.
Cool, nice, man. Well, thank you for your time thus far. Now's your time to kind of just talk a little bit about where people can find you. So talk about some, you know, about the projects and how they could find you and how can they follow up with you in order to, if they have additional questions.
Yep, sure. So you can reach me at Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T at 215marketing.com. Our website, 215marketing.com. If you need help with pay-per-click, websites, strategy, startup advice, feel free to reach out. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, thank you for your time thus far, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay. All right. See you.